One of our gentlemen here just made a comment while I had the machine turned off, that isn't it true that love and fear cannot exist in the same place at the same time? It's true. Also, love and lust cannot exist at the same time. You know, one time as a young Christian man, I'm out walking, and there's this girl coming down the jogging path, and I'm out walking, and I'm going, oh Lord, I don't want to look at this girl. You know, they don't wear much, you know. I don't want to look at this girl in the way that separates me from you, Lord. And then he says to me, he spoke to my heart, and he said, well then pray for her. And as she passed by, I said, Lord, bless that girl, save her, wherever she's going, make sure that she's going to get born again, that you're going to send somebody to pray for her and speak to her the Word of God. Maybe she's already saved. If she's already saved, bless her, speak to her, guide her, and protect her until she's totally out of view. And I never had an evil thought the whole time. And I just found out a great truth. Oh! Love cancels lust. But how many young men, they marry their spouse and they go into the honeymoon suite with lust? And they're going to go in there and take instead of going there and give and love and meet her needs. Everybody see what I'm saying? Love. God intended marriages to be holy unions of love, where she's going to love you and you're going to love her. And you're going to give so much love, nobody's going to take anything, and everybody's going to get benefited. Everybody's going to be satisfied. And that's God's idea of a perfect marriage. And sometimes it's self-sacrificing to give to the other. And God pleases God too. But it's all about love, and you can't lust and love at the same time. And you're right, you cannot fear and love.
Isn't love all in time?
Yes. Love is a spiritual force. And it's as big as God is, and God is awful big. And the Bible says God is love. We have to move on. We were at 1 John 4. Go to 1 John 5. Here's a short one. 1 John 5, it's just the very next chapter. Look at verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So maybe all these weeks I've been telling you that you can overcome sin effortlessly. Maybe you thought I was lying to you. But I want you to see here, His commandments, which are to have faith and have love, are not burdensome. They're light. It's like Jesus said, my yoke is easy and light. And Jesus didn't struggle with sin. It was easy for Him because He loved His Father, He loved His fellow man, and He loved Himself. And now what I'm telling you is we walk in that same love. And look at it. It says, God's commandments are not burdensome. They're easy. It's easy. Think about it. God's holy love is like being in weightlessness without gravity. There's no limit to what you can do. You know, if we had no gravity here, I could just go off the floor, fly up to that ceiling, kick off from the ceiling, turn 3 or 4 backflips, and come back down here. Okay? But in the love of God, in the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, with this amazing gift we have of God's love, it's that big, it's that easy, it's that huge, it's that fun, it's that all-encompassing. 1 John 5, we're still in the same chapter. Here's another blank check. When I say blank check, I mean God will do anything for you. Listen, don't say, I've prayed and He didn't answer my prayer. I'm saying, move higher in Him. start aligning up with Him better, and then pray the same prayer. All right? That's what I'm saying to you. Look at this one. Now, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. There's a key here that you need to ask what is according to His will. It's like, Lord, I hate that man over there. Please blot out his life right now. Okay. That is not the will of God, because God is love. So you just crossed with God. You just went into the devil's way of thinking. And now, He can't hear you. He will not hear you. Now, I gave you the worst case degree, right? But there are things that are just slightly off of God, how God thinks, and they're very subtle. And you might be asking for one of those things right now on a daily basis. But it's very subtle. Well, stop it. Stop that. You know? Because that isn't... In other words, you can... We know a God that has all the answers of the universe. And He's willing to share them with you. But unfortunately, we're so finite, we don't know the right questions. Everybody see that? Okay. You can think on that one as you fall asleep tonight. Look over at verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. I started telling you all this a long time ago. How many years ago did some of you get born again? What year did you get born again?
I got back to church about 4 months, but me and my girlfriend got baptized 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. But you had an experience before that where you were touched by Christ, had an encounter with Christ.
Oh, I was probably 7 or 8 years old.
No. Watch this. When you receive Christ in your heart and He gives you the new birth, a born-again heart, you know, you quit sinning right then in your heart. Because you're made of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and there's an image of Christ that the Holy Spirit puts inside of you, and Christ doesn't sin. Now, you do sin, but it's not you, it's your flesh. Because once you're born again, the real you is not your brain anymore. The real you is your spirit, which comes alive. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, their spirit died. They were born again backwards. When Adam and Eve first sinned, God said, "In the day you sin, you shall surely die." So they sinned, they died. But He didn't prepare caskets for them because they stayed alive. So something in them died. It was the human spirit that died. The day that you receive Christ, you're standing there, let's say you're a 20-year-old person and you receive Christ. You're standing there a two-part being. It's called a dichotomy. You're a mind and you're a body. But you have a dead spirit. And then what happens is you receive Christ and all of a sudden He quickens your spirit. Does anyone know what the word quicken means? He quickens your spirit when you receive Christ. What does quicken mean?
Quicken means you open up quicker.
It means He makes you alive. He makes your human spirit alive. Now all of a sudden you're not a dichotomy, which means two. You're a trichotomy, which means three. We are now a spirit, soul, and body. And the soul is not the spirit. All right? I mean, Hollywood and TV and books... These authors and writers, they go, "Oh, he died and his soul went to heaven." You know what? The soul is part of your flesh. It isn't part of your human spirit. You're a three-part being. The Apostle Paul said we have, it's found in Ephesians 5, and says we have spirit, soul, and body. And he ranked them in the proper order. It means your spirit is the first part of you, the soul is the second part of you, and the body is the third part of you. Now the soul contains your mind, will, emotions, and memory. The soul contains your mind, will, emotions, and memory. It's your governor. The men in here know what a governor is. A governor is like a control, like you put it on a carburetor, you know. Now you can't go faster at a certain speed. Well, your mind and your soul is like a governor, but the power source is your human spirit. That's where the engine is. That's where the power source of us, of our life force is. So we are a spirit, soul, and body. Now,
can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Okay.